Good to be for us. It's good to be back home, and then to last time 2 years ago when we were home, we had made this point we were going to come down and see Hans and Rochelle, and we were home for 7 months, but we could not. We ran out of time, so we had to call. I had to call Hans and say, you know what? It's just not going to work. And then so this time, even before we came home, we started making plans. We're saying, you know what, we have to, this has to get, you know, you got to get your big things in first. So anyway, it's really good to be here in your community and here, especially with Hans and Rochelle. Hans and I worked together a long time. Hans is one of the younger, boys. I'm second to the oldest, and so we had this framing crew, and he kind of you were just telling us recently, you didn't really come excited about framing, but you it was a job, and so, you know, it's just a way to get a paycheck. And so we worked together for a number of years until he really loved the work, and then he and I became really good friends. And it is really good to be here in Jessup with, it's just with you all. It seems like there's a lot of connections. There's people here we have deep contact with there. Marcus, I tell you, grew up together, and it's good. And Stan, I remember, your involvement there in the mission, and I'll never forget that one night when, there's this saying that they say reality is what you bump into when you're wrong. And I had a kind of a reality check, and it wasn't real easy. And he stayed and kind of helped me work through helped Evie and I work through. What we're gonna, I have a few thoughts from Ephesians. This past week I was reading the book of Ephesians, and thought I would share a little bit from Ephesians 1, and then Evie's going to do a little presentation on what we're doing, and then I'll close with a little story about one of my friends there in Ghana. So, okay, if you want to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, and Ephesians chapter 1, and the verse that really I wanted to zero in on is verse 17, and I'm sorry, I should have asked earlier, but I'm reading from the NIV. That's what I've been reading recently, and that's what I'll be reading from, but it's verse 17, and it goes like this: I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And if I would, I think my, what I would like to focus in is that you may know him better. You know, the part that caught my attention is that he would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know, it's been all my life, wanting more wisdom and needing more revelation, what we should do. Eric here talking about where you should go. You know, there's a lot of things we don't know, and we want wisdom and revelation. But I think the part that struck me was, it's not that we can be more comfortable, that things can, you know, we can be more secure. The issue is that we may know him. And so that's what I wanted to, knowing him, I thought it really went, I really appreciated what you had to share there about knowing God and being involved in what he what he's doing. I'm just going to read, start in verse 3, and I'm going to read through the end of the chapter, and then I'll make a few comments on so again, starting in verse 3, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestinated us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with his riches, with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times will have reached their fullness, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about you and your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the same power, is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand on the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power, dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I think what really inspired me again was just this, I don't know, I became a Christian as a very, I mean, I think I was maybe 10, and so I've been a Christian for a long time, all my life. But learning to know God is an ongoing, it's just an ongoing, and I think the one piece that maybe just embracing a little bit more is the fact that God is happy with me. God loves me. God, you know, so anyway, and we see this when you know, the way Paul talks about God, the glorious Father. You know, this is, God is not just this, you know, he's perfect, right? And he wants you and me to be perfect. And so sometimes it can kind of, we might kind of shy away from those, this idea, because, I mean, I know I'm not perfect, right? You know, I'm not, but God wants us to be holy and blameless. But he is, it's him doing it, I think that's what I'm getting more and more excited about, is that it's God doing. And so you and I, as we pursue, walk, love God, he will give us his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, and it's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation that we will know him, that we can know him and know him better. Okay, let's pray, and then I'll have, and then Evie can come. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word to us. And Lord, we do, we thank you that you are our Father. You really do love us, and you want, you have good plans for us. You have plans to make us whole and complete, to make us blameless. And so, yeah, wherever we go, whatever we do, you are, ultimately, you are changing us and changing those around us. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think maybe we mentioned already, in 2012, Evie and I moved to Ghana, West Africa, and see, I'm not sure how many years before that you had been going, Stan. Like, when did you start getting involved with Living Hope?
I think 2004.
Okay, so a lot, yeah, you had a lot of years before that. So anyway, yeah, so we want to, yeah, I'll turn the time over to Evie, then you can tell.
Yeah, it is a pleasure to be here this morning, and just been enjoying everything that's been shared so far. And I was thinking about starting out with this slide, wave upon wave of grace upon grace. And so I'm just going back to the verse that Lonnie shared here, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We want to give you a little picture of God's faithfulness and his grace in our lives, and encourage you to think about how that's being worked out in your own life, too. I loved what Brother Eric shared, too, of how God is a missional God, and he's been calling us to participate in this, of calling people to himself. I'm reading Jeremiah right now, and he was using Jeremiah, too, to call his people back. And the verse was about grace yesterday. It stood out to me, too, from Jeremiah chapter 31. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, where Israel sought rest. The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I've continued my faithfulness to you. So we're going to show you just a little bit. Hopefully you can see God's faithfulness in our lives. And we really are finding, sometimes it feels like a wilderness. You know, we are finding God's grace in our wilderness. We were at Jekyll Island yesterday with Hansies and really enjoyed it. And like I said, I read this in the morning, so I thought it was God's little word that we're going to the right place. Because at the end of this passage, it says, the Lord who gives the sun for light by day and the fixed order of the moon and so on, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. So I want to show just a little bit maybe from the beginning of our time. Now, my slideshow is not a professional one, and I thought I had these pictures where I wanted to start. Let me go back here. Okay. When the school, when we went, like Lonnie said, in 2012, there were, I think, 9 teachers. This is maybe a year or two later, the group had increased a little bit, and there were, I think, 125 students. Now there are, Lonnie has a staff of 27, and there are 380 students in the school. So this is from the first, this was the headmistress, Madam Teresa, in the first years. We had some trouble with flooding those first years. We still do, but one of the projects has been putting a culvert, like a big ditch around the school that prevents some of this flooding from happening now. This is my children, how they were when we went. Kailia was 8 months old when we moved with Kailia. So we would go to Fonte class twice a week. This is at the canteen eating. We would eat over there once a week with the students. Now I'm gonna fast forward to last year. 2000, of course, was COVID year. I'm sure lots of people ask us, well, how was it in Ghana over COVID? So this is just before COVID started. One of our teacher aides got married. We were so excited to be a part of that with her. This is Dante with his home economics class, also before school was shut down because of COVID. Now this is a little picture of what we tried to do the beginning of COVID. I thought, well, we'll try to put lessons online for the kids. So a lot of the families do have smartphones, believe it or not. And so they tried to put lessons online, especially for the 9th graders who were supposed to be graduating and going to high school at the end of the year. So this is a group of teachers working with Mr. Roman, who is the software developer for the program that they're using at the school. And they're trying to get their lessons going online. This was Easter. We weren't allowed to go to church because everything was shut down. So we went up on top of a hill with a few neighbors and had a little sunrise service. And then we continued, of course, I'm homeschooling. And then the kids would go to the academy for one class or so. But over COVID then we added a few more students to our homeschool. This is Kailia's class, and she was lucky to have 2 join her. This is one of the 9th graders doing her lessons that they started doing online. That worked for a little bit, but it kind of petered out then, right? Online lessons. It didn't really work. This is our little homeschool group. They did a little program. Let me play some of this for you.
Thank you, Joey.
This was the priceless part. This is Daddy Zach, one of the house parents. He was enjoying the program. Another thing that happened last year, had more time, didn't have regular school classes, of course, and so these are some of the young boys. Stan, you may recognize some of them. These boys came as infants to the foster care. I don't know how familiar you are with Living Hope, but it started out evangelistic, and then they started having foster homes, so there are still 3 foster homes that are part of Living Hope. And these are the older boys who came as babies to the first home. They're now teenagers. Johnny here graduated from high school and is now in college. And I was just thinking of him as Eric was saying about the book, The Insanity of God. Johnny is one of the few children who loves to read, and he would come to our house for books. And so after he graduated from high school, he had a couple months off before he started college, and I'm like, you know, he needs a little bit more reading challenge. So I showed him some of our books. I'm like, here's a really thick one. I don't think you can read this one. And he's like, what is it? And it was Insanity of God. And he says, yeah, he's going to read it. I'm like, okay, write me a book report when you're done. And I was just kind of kidding. Honestly, he came with a 3-page report when he was done with the book. So I'm hoping that Johnny will be one to continue taking the gospel to the nations. Here they're learning how to ride motorcycle. So here, okay, here's another, I think there's a little video clip too. Yeah, here. Let's see, this was kind of a fail. Abby just couldn't get it going. Actually, Josiah is pretty good at riding moto, and Kwesi, too, is a very good moto, and Abby was trying to learn, so anyway. This, then, is when the ninth graders came back. School was completely closed for a few months, and then the ninth graders came back in,
July. It must have been August. It was probably...
July or August.
I think it was August.
They came back full-time, everybody wearing masks, doing the hand-washing, see the sign on the door, of course, it was not enforced real strictly. And then we had the graduation. They finished out their year and graduated. So they always dress up for their final day. We had 22 ninth graders this past year. Here they are. And then we took them on an excursion, like a 2-day field trip or whatever. This is Kakum National Park, and it has swinging bridges. It's a lot of fun. This is the group. Not quite all of them went along on the trip. We also took them to Accra to spend some time with a pastor who works with the homeless there. And this is Pastor Kwame talking to the ninth graders. That was such a good experience. This is Pastor Kwame here. And then he took us around a little bit. This is where some of the homeless people stay. And here's some of the children. You were so dear. And it's just some more of that trip. And then we did our first teacher's retreat in October. Leon and Jean Stutzman, this is Leon up here, came to help us with that. That was such a good experience. We're so grateful for Leon, Jean, and for our staff. They're a good group. Here they are. This is another COVID project. Dante, first he, with the flooding, you know, got inspired to make a raft. First it was just a real basic one, and then they made a fancier raft, and then they got the notion, Dante had the dream of making a canoe. So I'll have a little bit more of that at the end. This is in January. We took the foster families to the beach. And then before school reopened then in January, opened for all the students. And so the school building hadn't been used since March and was really needed some work. And so here, some of the teachers were helping to repaint the classrooms. This is just Tirza with her kitties. The teacher's aide that got married in 2020, they had a newborn this past year now. That's her with her newborn. And then another milestone for the school, Lonnie's had the dream of developing our own curriculum. And this is Surima. And he's starting on the math curriculum, and he actually finished first, second, and third grade to start out in January. So that was a huge accomplishment, celebrating with him there. This is the bus arriving. It really was exciting to start up again after being off for all those months. This is where the students eat their lunch. This is Sarah. Stan, you might remember, of course, Justina. This is her oldest daughter, Sarah. She's helping out at the school now. This is in the nursery 2 room.
What was your youngest grade?
We have nursery, it starts in nursery 1, and that is for 2-year-olds. So we have 2-year-olds in nursery one, 3-year-olds in nursery two, then kindergarten one, 4-year-olds, kindergarten two, 5-year-olds, and then from there to ninth grade. This is the science teacher out having a little science lesson. Anyway, have a little science lesson there. This is homeschool continuing. Our school, with COVID restrictions, we were required to space out the students a little bit more. We used to crowd like 40 into a room, you know, and now supposed to not be more than 20 or 30 in a room. So we've had to rearrange, and really we need a new school building. But here are some of the kids that are doing a class outside. This, I think, is kindergarten two. We use you're familiar with the BECCA program. We're still using the BECCA for language in starting kindergarten two. Well, they use some of it in kindergarten one, and then kindergarten two through sixth grade uses the BECCA for their language. Dante and his boat. He's working in the new math. It's our family. Wave upon wave of grace upon grace. We were privileged then to have a group from Hillcrest come this spring. There were plenty of countries that were still closed, but Ghana was open. And so they brought a group of, was it 12?
I think it was
12. Did some projects there, made curtains for the school nursery. It's just some of them playing with the kids. They did like a Bible drama in the classroom. I think this was, what was this story?
Jonah.
Huh? Jonah, yeah, this was Jonah. Can you see that's Jonah? Yeah. Here they're playing volleyball with the teachers, the Hillcrest group against the teachers. That was really fun. Here's the group. And another thing that we're doing with some of the students is there's a lot of students that have learning disabilities. And so we've started a little therapy program with some of them, and Tirza helps out with that. Some eye therapy and the writing aids. Our family, again, we took a little trip to Mole National Park this spring. Got to see some elephants. And this is Dante with some of the boys that are his friends. The one boy wanted him to help him build a rabbit cage, so that's what they're working on there. This is then just right before we came, our nursery block. This is way too crowded, The one room really needed a wall. We decided to just make a little more space by tearing out a wall and redoing that room. Sir Day's doing some of the painting. Here's the mason. Yeah, that was the mason. And here's Lonnie doing some work. He still loves to do his carpenter work now and then, too. This is at the nursery block. This is how they eat their lunch. Washing their dishes. And then we have 3 teachers who have infants, and so we needed to work out a place for them to leave their babies, so worked that out right before we came too. We have a store that's a part of the canteen where the students eat their lunch, so we arranged a little place for the babies in the store. This is the store, you can see, and we actually put 2 cribs in there, and another thing that just started is Lonnie hired a music teacher, and so this is Mr. Nathaniel having music class, and here he's getting some of them to sing a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
they're really enjoying that. We can easily hear them from our house. They sing with all their hearts. And then I think this was 2 days before we left. I was so excited. They bought some trees. Sir Johnson was put in charge of planting some trees around the property. So here's his trees that he bought. Actually, this is back to the room that got the wall torn out and repainted. But now here's the students planting some trees. And again, our family again. Now I want to show you just a few more pictures of the canoe, and then we'll close with Lonnie's last story. Okay, so just for fun, a little bit more of the canoe building. Here's where they're building it. They built it in one of the classrooms that was empty because of COVID. And measuring to put the stripes on, doing the painting. And then here we go. My sister Edith came, and she was privileged to be there for its first trip on the river. So if you come visit, we'll take you for a ride in the canoe.
All right. Thanks, Evie. With COVID, I had some more. It was good for me, and I guess as far as with the school, all of a sudden the school shut down, you know, so what am I going to do, you know? Well, there wasn't really ever completely shut down because, you know, I still had payroll to do. I still had, and then for, you know, we had about, 3 months that we would have been trying to do some kind of, it was more than that. It was about a month and a half that really I didn't have anybody coming to the school. But nevertheless, it still is a lot less work than when you have, you know, 350 kids and teachers around every day. And so one of my good friends, Stan, you might remember him, Mr. Amabile. The teacher, he actually taught at our school when I came, when we moved there. He was teaching. He was raised Christian but had converted to Buddhism, and so we were just good friends. But you know, obviously we didn't. Then eventually he needed to quit our school, and so he's still neighbor man, and so I still, you know, with him some. So I think maybe December or, I'm sorry, November, maybe it was November, I got the inspiration to try to start reading the book of John through. We would do chapter a week, and we'd read. And my concern, or what I was wanting, I consider him a good friend, but he is an older man. He's 80 years old, and I really do care about his salvation, and I know there's no salvation in any other except Jesus, you know, and his Buddhism is the Buddhism what little I know about it, it's the Buddhism that we would experience a lot of here in the academics. It's kind of this always lead to God, and so he didn't really see it as being that much of a deal. You know, why do I care so much about, you know, okay, how can I say that there's salvation in only Jesus? You know, there's no salvation any other way. You know, how can we do that? How can we say that? And we had many discussions, but the inspiration was, well, let's start reading the Gospel of John. Anyway, that really, I'm not totally sure where he is as far as salvation. you know, after, I forget, we did, was it four sessions together? But then by Christmas, I was getting really busy, and so we ended up stopping. And here, I called him just before we, well, it was a week and a half or so before we left. I wanted to meet with him before we left, and he said, he said he'd like to get together. Well, then, you know, getting, as time went on, I wasn't able to get it worked in, so I had to call him back and say, you know, Mr. Mobley, I'm not going to be able to, we'll just talk on the phone, and then he told me, he said, you wouldn't believe what has happened. He said, you know, after we stopped, and like, I, it was like, it's around Christmas, I think, or somewhere, that he and I stopped reading John. He said, well, there was a, there's another organization, there was somebody from Takrati who called and did a, they were also doing evangelism, and they went, he said, they did the same thing you were doing. They were going through the book of John, and so he said so anyway, I'm anxious to see. I don't really know where he is, salvation-wise, but I'm just saying, yeah, we can continue to pray, and it's somebody you love dearly, but you know, we want salvation. We want them to experience the life in Christ.
Lonnie mentioned just learning more about embracing Jesus' love for us, and couldn't we close with that little song? Lois thought we should sing a Fonte song, but we didn't practice this at all. But there's a little song, Jesus Loves Me, Jesus Loves Me, Yesu Dame.
Yesu Dame.
Let's do that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's great.
And our kids, you can help from back. We won't make you come up, but help from back there, okay?
Well, I have a question.
Oh, yes.
First of all, just watching it, brought tons of memories. Mm-hmm. Really good. Some of it, you talked about some of the pictures I see, and I recall sitting at work meeting just, and trying to get over some process cultural stuff. When you talk about children going to school at 2 years old, you don't know how hard that was for this American quarter to come to be okay with some of the culture, with what that was culturally, was huge. And like, as an American, you just couldn't, it was a hard. And so just a lot of things like that, the school bus, just how hard it was to get in and be a back at how just like, hours and hours of money, and just what big value has to be culturally.
Yeah.
So it brought so much stuff. It was really, really good. It's good to see that everything, good to see what you're doing there. Mm. I have a question. How did COVID affect the country? Like people in town, what did it do? Because so many people live almost day to day, and through the, like, go to the market, get food. What happened there?
They, for the most part, the country really, as a country, they really went closely with, I mean, Ghana's really working at trying to be, modern. Mm-hmm. And so they really embraced what the World Health said, you know, that's what they did. And went as far, like, you know, they shut schools down immediately, you know, March, I think it's maybe a week after they closed schools here, we closed all schools, churches, so they tried to follow the protocol, even went as far as to try to close down, to shut down Accra, Accra, and that kind of brought it to, that was kind of a, you know, we talk about reality is what you bump into when you're wrong, you know. It was a reality check for them. This day-to-day living just doesn't work. You can't keep people. They had the military in there, you know, and armed police, you know, trying to, and it was chaos. Pretty early on, I'm sorry, what? Well, it was, the short answer is, you know, as far as COVID restrictions, then among the average Ghanaians, then They didn't worry about him after, you know, from what, April on. You know, it didn't. I mean, there was certain spots where, we'd get reports that the police are going to be working on this area, you know, and then people would try to tighten up. But as far as schools, we were not, you know, like there was no tolerance for, like, we weren't allowed to operate. But as far as the people, you know, as far as eating and you know, they found ways. But it still did really disrupt, they couldn't. They couldn't travel. See, there's a lot of inter-country trade, you know, so they go to, a lot of people go to Togo, buy merchandise and come and sell it in Ghana. There's also on the west side of us, you know, in Cote d'Ivoire, there's quite a bit of back and forth there. And so that was difficult, although what happened then is now you have hidden ways to get back, you know. And like one of our teachers is from Togo, and a lady, it's a French teacher, and she had to go, get somebody to take you across the border illegally, you know, they'll take you up through the bush and,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, she walked an hour and a half, I think.
I wouldn't have remembered how far.
We didn't have any like serious outbreaks of COVID, so I think that's different than like in India and some of those other places where it really was serious. A lot of people died.
Now that,
and
yeah, that's yeah, that's another thing too. Yeah, so. We really did have. So other than that, I'm not sure. Among the educated people, there was always quite a bit of, you know, try to keep with the protocols and but the other reality too is they didn't test nearly as aggressively. So, you know, actually, you know, we think we got it there. We had something that, you know, seemed very likely it was COVID, but we never got tested. And I don't know how many other people had the same thing else.
People, some of them aren't in the past anyway, they were like overly healthy, especially mm-hmm. older people. Like, I just wondered if there was a lot of deaths or if it was how it wasn't real severe.
No, as far as the death toll, I don't know. Although, I don't know if they know for sure either. I mean, those, a lot of those things, it's a little hard to know. But I was gonna, Living Hope, or the school, was able, the ministry able to bring, to give money for salaries. They did, we paid half salaries all the way through COVID. Something that at the beginning I didn't see as being so important, you know, like where, as it turned out, it was a life, how would I say, it was a survival thing for the teachers. You know, it was very, very, you know, to be able to just give them half their salary. So, that's good. Any other questions or?
It's 20 after.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yesu Dami.
Yesu Dami. Yesu Dami. Yesu Dami Adawoso. Yesu Dami. Yesu Dami. Yesu Dami Adawoso. Hallelujah. Yesu Dami. Hallelujah. Yesu Dami. Hallelujah. Yesu Dami.